May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, my Lord, my God. Please be seated. With all that was going on, I forgot that tomorrow was picture day, which meant that my five-year-old son had to get his hair cut. Although there were a number of designer hair salons in the manicured fields in the Brigadoon of the Bronx called Riverdale, we would have to travel down the hill to the more diverse neighborhood rooted in colored quilts to the neighborhood barbershop to sit in the same well-worn leather seats that his grandfather and dad sat to get their hair cut for picture day and Sunday mornings, because he had to get the stylish Gumby cut, which was an afro that was cut to a slant in honor of, yes, the claymation figure, Gumby. And if you didn't go to the right barbershop, you would look like a cartoon character. So he went down to the neighborhood, but it was a time when many neighborhoods were going through a de-gentrification, a time where things after broken promises and derailed budgets left people walking in times of discontent. And there were elements that began to grow up out of these cities and places that were uneasy. And choices were being made by a few that affected the many. And the best choice was not to be out at night. But I made a choice to get my son's hair cut. So I made an appointment at the neighborhood barbershop, knowing I would get home long before the sun went down. All was going well in the neighborhood until it was not going well anymore. The sun began to set, and just as I noticed that it was getting a little dark, a group of loud young boys came into the shop, playing loud music, speaking even louder, playing a game of musical chairs with the barbershop seats, taking up seats without appointments or any concern of social norms. I thought to leave, but tomorrow was picture day. Instead, I stayed and played and prayed with my son. At one point, one of the lost boys plopped down next to my son. I could tell he was looking at him with a certain stare and attitude and certain discontent in his body and movements, sort of disgruntledness. At one point, he looked at me and said, "Yo, what's up with him? Why that boy look like that? What's wrong with him?" I took a deep breath. In a calm voice, I answered. I said, "Well, you see, he has a rare illness. It's called mucopolysaccharidosis, also known as Hurler's. His head's a little large because he has hydrocephalus, which means there's water on the brain. He sits like that because his spine is curved outwards. That's called a kyphosis. He's dwarfed, so he'll always be a little short." And I went on to explain other of my son's ailments and situations, ending with, "But he's my precious and beautiful little boy, and I love him with my whole heart," and went back to praying and playing. At one point, the noise in the barbershop seemed to get muffled and the music seemed to lessen as the young man began to clear his throat and sort of sniffle, and I noticed that his position began to change as he straightened himself up. He removed his hat and the dark glasses he no longer needed because the sun had long went down, wiping tears from his eyes. And he turned to me and said, this time, excuse me, ma'am, but can I tell you something? I smiled once again and said, of course you can. He said, when I grow up, if I grow up to be a man, you want to know something? Again, I said, sure. I'm going to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor when I grow up, so I can help little boys like your son. It's not right that nobody can help little boys like him. At that point, I looked at these two young men, children of God, from two different mothers, and I wondered which one of them were more disabled in America. I wondered which ones would be put on the list with all the others who had been separated by circumstances beyond their control, whether or not their parents were to blame for their circumstances, or systems that had been corrupt to exalt others and oppress many, deciding who belongs here and who doesn't, deciding what history should be erased while mistruths are embellished in gold, and all the list of others as we are brought together, recipients of circumstances beyond our control, victims of the same systems beyond our control, persistence, participants of a game of musical chairs, we find ourselves circling in fear, bias, at times ignorance and concerns that are all too difficult to name and embrace. And each time the music stops, for even just a moment, there is a mad rush to find a seat before the other takes it away. And in that moment, our beloved community becomes weakened. And the evil that looms in the dark spaces wins for just that moment. But, to the glory of God, on that night with the disciples, with all that was going on, as that night before Picture Day, on this holy night, Jesus is here, gathering disciples as then as now, the believers and the not too sure, the found and the lost, the broken and the healed, are all welcomed. There is a place, there is a seat at the table, with no questions asked, with no place cards needed. There is a seat at the table. Jesus spreads his arms wide, the same hands that healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the hungry, calmed the storms. On a holy night of his birth, where the humble and mighty gathered to bring gifts, but on this holy night, Jesus is bringing gifts to his beloved. All the things, all those that he came to save, he is now showing one last time before the ultimate sacrifice what it is to be a child of a loving God, to serve and not to be served. And before the greatest sacrifice in the simplest of gifts, Jesus does what the disciples think is really something unheard of, unthinkable, the Son of Man, the King of Kings, is on his knees, removing his robe to wash the feet, a task usually reserved for the lowly. Jesus lets go of his privileges, his wealth, his power, given to him at birth, to wash the feet of his disciples, to humble oneself in total vulnerability, seated next to the stranger, to wash the feet of those who have walked the roads where only angels would dare tread, on the road to Jerusalem, or those we'll meet walking in the streets and roads of our cities for justice, peace, for humanity, for all of God's children, as early as last Saturday. On this holy night, we wash away literally all that needs to be washed away, for we have only begun this journey, our walk with the risen Christ. We need no extra dust under our feet. Yes, my beloved, the hardest thing we will do is to follow Jesus, because we know that on this road leads to the cross and to the crucifixion. But you see, we've got to go through the crucifixion to get to the glory of the resurrection, because we know that tomb is empty, because Jesus is walking with us. I often say to people, once they get to know me very quickly, is that they know I love myself some Jesus. And I love my children. And I often say that I love rock and roll. And on this holy night, I'm going to add one more love to that. I love myself some Bishop Curry. And I'm going to bring a little Bishop Curry spirit into this night, a little bit of his joy, if I might, as I think about where we see Jesus in all kinds of places. A few years ago, many years ago, I was down on 14th Street and 4th Avenue after dropping my children off. It's about 7:45 in the morning. And there are very few people there on the street. And the cab pulled up in front of the Best Buy. And the man stepped out of the cab. There were very few people. Best Buy was still closed. And I looked up, and who stepped out of the cab? But Bono, with the glasses, looking very rock and roll. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's Bono. And I wanted to say something, but it wasn't appropriate. But I wanted to say something. And at one point, he put his finger up to his lips and looked at me, because he knew I wanted to say something. He didn't want to start a whole big commotion. And instead, he said to me, in an Irish brogue, which I won't try to imitate, he says, you know, the last thing Jesus said was to love one another. Jesus pops up everywhere. My mother would say that was very sacrilegious, but Jesus pops up everywhere. We hold that, we live that. Every single day, the last thing Jesus said to us was to love one another. Simple words, to love one another. As in a few minutes, we will reenact what happened on that holy night. And we will hold that in our hearts. And we will remember what Jesus said to his disciples. We will remember those times in our lives when Jesus has showed up and will continue to show up, because he is walking with us, cleansing us, feeding us, giving us everything that we need. So on this holy night, let us hold on to that commandment to love one another and to show people every day what it is not only to walk with Jesus, but to be one of his disciples in a world so seriously broken. Amen.